Welcome to Power Play to start the 1 week countdown to the federal election. Happy Thanksgiving and thank you for joining us. Coming up on today's show, there's unexpected shifting in the latest polls, which foreshadows some pretty interesting possibilities amid talk of coalitions forming. Nick Nanos gives us the numbers and the strategists lay out the scenarios. Also ahead, they're the twin pillars of most party platforms and they're dividing the electorate. We look at energy and environmental policies with our experts to help define the differences and what's next, what the next government will face. And if you were creating a soup to reflect the personality of the current crop of political leaders, what would that look or taste like? Well, Ottawa Soup Guy has cooked up a custom concoction for every leader. We'll find out what they're made of for our special Thanksgiving feature. But first, with the polls deadlocked for the top spot, the signals of a minority parliament ahead are becoming difficult for even the leaders to ignore. They face multiple questions about Liberal NDP coalitions today, which, of course, were condemned by the Conservatives. Here is the turkey talk on the tours today.
I was there for almost 10 years of a Harper government that, despite all the strong fighting we did from opposition, kept moving ahead with its cuts. Right now, we have a choice of whether we want to move forward as a country or go back to conservative cuts.
My focus is not on on a coalition. My focus is on this. If you vote New Democrat, you're going to get someone on your side, and everything that you want, you'll have someone who's going to fight to make it happen. And what I've said before is that, for me, whatever happens in this election, like I want to be very clear, we've got a lot of momentum. There's been a lot of folks coming to us because they see in us champions for them. And I'm honored by that. And I want to be prime minister because I know I can deliver an incredible government that's going to make people's lives better.
I believe Canadians now have a crystal clear choice between a Trudeau-NDP coalition that will raise taxes, run endless deficits and make life more expensive, and a conservative government, majority government, that will live within its means, lower taxes, put money, more money back in your pockets. We would not enter into any type of negotiations with the Bloc.
All right, let's bring in the oracle of polling trends to look at the fight in the regions where seats are still in play. Nick Nanos joins me in the studio. You've talked about Thanksgiving dinner being a pivotal moment in the political conversation. People talking turkey, as we said. Now, when do you see the leadership tie starting to break? We're right dead even, aren't they?
Yeah, well, on the preferred prime minister on the ballot, it's an absolute dead heat on both of those, which is quite unusual. Usually someone's got the advantage on something, but not so in this case. You know, what we've seen over the last week and into the closing weekend is a pickup for the New Democrats. They're now at around 19% nationally, which is good for them. If they can break 20 this week, it could be a big headache for the red team with those vote splits. So I'm sure, why don't we say Andrew Scheer probably had a good Thanksgiving. He's looking at those Jagmeet Singh numbers and going, I like that. I like that a lot.
Let's talk, because there are three battlegrounds. There's Quebec, Ontario, and British Columbia. The rest are not locked in, but certainly more dependable than the others. Let's start with Quebec. What are your polling telling you about Quebec? I guess this is a story about the Bloc booster, right?
Yeah, exactly. In the province of Quebec, the Bloc are now closing in on the Liberals, which is actually quite good for Blanchette and the Bloc. Actually, last week was a better week than other weeks for Jagmeet Singh in the province of Quebec.
Really?
But I'm not sure if that's enough to kind of stem what I'll say the Bloc surge that we're seeing in that particular province. But you know, Montreal, still a lock for the Liberals. So watch out for those ridings once you step off the island of Montreal and watch the Bloc in terms of them picking up seats.
But the Bloc, or the Liberals, are still rock solid in Montreal, right?
Yeah, they're solid in Montreal. But once we step off island, the Bloc is actually quite competitive, as are the New Democrats.
And where do they take their seats away from? Are their votes away? Is it Liberals that are taking it, or Conservatives, or all of the above?
Actually, the Bloc picking up seats from the New Democrats, a few from the Liberals, and even a couple from the Conservatives.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's quite a phenomenon that's going on there. All right. Let's move to Ontario. That's where Justin Trudeau was today. I'm curious. Here, it's more of a straight-up tussle between the Liberals and the Conservatives, but the NDP has some seats down in southwestern Ontario, where Trudeau was today. What's going on?
Well, you know, what's interesting in the province of Ontario is that the pickup that the New Democrats realized nationally did not really manifest itself significantly in the province of Ontario. Toronto's still a lock for the Liberals. The Conservatives still do well, and I'll call it the rest of Ontario, excluding the 905. And right now, what we've seen, at least in the last week, is that the conservatives have been sliding a bit in the 905, and the liberals are starting to pick up a little steam. And right now, Ontario's looking pretty good for the liberals. So if you're a conservative strategist, you want to try to turn that 905 around in order to try to break through and win those ridings, because you're going to need them if you want to have a chance to form any type of government.
I wonder if we'll see Scheer coming back, because he's in Manitoba today, and there's some controversy that he could be, he shouldn't be there. State of emergency has been declared, but he must see some seats there to be picked up. I don't know if that's showing up at all.
I think if you're a conservative, the state of emergency is probably in the 905. You want to get down into there, because those ridings can vote conservative. They need Andrew Scheer there in order to try to tip the balance in favor of the conservatives, because if the liberals can hold on to the 905, that'll be good news for Justin Trudeau and the liberals on election night.
Now, BC is the big mystery. I don't get it. Now, what's going on? That's three parties are competitive there. Four, because
four.
Of the Greens.
Exactly. BC's going to be the interesting one to watch. It's been the most competitive throughout this whole election campaign. A lot of this has had to do with what I'll say, wild and wacky vote splits. And this is probably the best province for the New Democrats right now, because the New Democrats, in the last week, the national trend converted into the province of British Columbia. Mm-hmm. That probably explains why Jagmeet Singh has been in British Columbia over the last number of days, because he doesn't really need a big lift to do well in the province of BC. So that's going to be the one to watch. What's the get out the vote like? Who people are motivated to come and get out and support? And how those vote splits work? Who knows what's going to happen? But it's open.
I know there's no set script for this, but is the last week you sometimes see these things come out of the blue? The Liberals in 2015 suddenly surged rather dramatically in the last week. Some people say, as I recall, your polls, even in the last weekend you were counting. Is this scenario likely to be repeated this time around?
Well, in 2015, the Liberals were not in majority territory until the last 4 days of the election campaign.
Okay.
So there's still time for the numbers to move. The trend line that I'm watching are the conservatives, because the only thing that can really change things is if voters decide to strategically vote. If that becomes a factor in this election, we might get one last change in the trend line in the closing days of the election.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of talk about Scheer trashing the Liberal NDP coalition, say, you got to give me a majority mandate. And then you get Trudeau saying, well, you got to give me the vote and not Singh, because we don't want to have a fractured parliamentary government. So interesting.
Yeah, but what both of them don't realize is that Canadians are not enthusiastic about either of the two front runners right now.
All right, Nick, no gobbledygook from you. Thank you. Appreciate you coming in. We'll see you again. All right, just ahead, our fabled foursome of strategic savviness is ready to size up this crazy campaign in the home stretch. Please stay with us. Welcome back. So it seems it might require a little stuffing on the side to make a full turkey meal to digest in the next parliament. And don't worry, I'm not done with Thanksgiving puns yet. Let's find out what the professional partisans think. It's time for our top strategists to carve up the scene. Greg McEachern is with Proof Strategies under the Cranberry Red Tent. Carl Boulanger is president of the Douglas Caldwell Foundation and the butternut squash side of things. Summa Strategies, Kate Harrison is Basic Blue, and there's no food group to go with that one. And
blueberry pie. Sweet.
Is that a Thanksgiving thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And wearing a wide range of fall colors to reflect his personality and neutrality, Greg Weston of the Earnscliffe Strategy Group. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Andrew Scheer shows up in Winnipeg. State of emergency. Large entourage using up hotel rooms that people might be put to better use if they're coming in from out of town where there's an emergency. Should he have canceled? Kate Harris.
I think this is one of those you're darned if you do, darned if you don't situations. If he had canceled, then, you know, he probably would have faced criticism for not going and talking and meeting with people. So I think we discussed this quite a bit when the floods were happening outside of Ottawa and mm-hmm. we saw politicians show up there and lend a hand. You do that, you're accused of doing it for the photo op. So I think that when, you know, the tour schedule is as tight as it is, there's so few days left, you probably stick to the plan. But maybe you take the opportunity to meet with some of those, disaster response officials without taking up too much of their time mm-hmm. because they have other things to be working on.
Greg Weston, you've covered enough election campaigns, and there's always, I remember Kretchen or the Red River was flooding. He got in trouble. So there's always something. Should he have maybe done a little detour or maybe got out of Dodge a night early and save the hotel rooms for people that need them?
I think Kate's right. You really are damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you go to these things. The key is always to do something meaningful when you're, if you're going to be there, do something meaningful, but stay out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, Kretcham got the, you know, the sandbag, and there are now 50 people helping to, you know, fill this one sandbag as though this is going to, you know, save the population. It was ridiculous. And the other thing is, this is a little bit different because it was already planned. So they're almost already there. It's a little different than there's a disaster somewhere and politicians saying, I'm going to go because I want to have my face, you know, on the night news as caring. But I agree. He could have got there. He could have gone and talked to. There's only a small group of people who were on camera saying, well, you know, we're out of our homes. What's he doing for us? And go and talk to them. You know, break from your script.
Got any thoughts on that, or do you?
I don't agree. Damned if you do, damned if you don't in this case, because I think Singh was supposed to go there. Carl can correct me if I'm wrong, and didn't go, and I don't think he's being criticized right now. This seems like bad advance to me, because instead of talking about what Scheer said today, we're talking about what he did, was going to a province that is under an emergency. It wasn't that many months ago when Trudeau took a lot of heat for going to support people who were helping clean up a flood not very far from here. I'm sure all those conservatives on Twitter who are critical of Trudeau will be just as critical of Scheer. What am I saying? But no, I think it was a big mistake. As soon as I heard they were going, I couldn't figure out why. I did advance Paul Martin, 2003, the hurricane in Nova Scotia, Hurricane Juan. And there was a lot of thought and effort to figure out when the time would be right so he would not get these type of questions. I think it was a mistake that they did it.
Was Singh supposed to go, Carl? Do you know?
He's not going, so that's the point.
Was he planning?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. To be honest, it doesn't really matter because campaigns are supposed to be flexible. And if you go there during a disaster and you don't address that and you actually are campaigning on other issues, I think it's in pretty bad taste and you're paying a price.
Why don't you just look at the weather? Who wants to go to Winnipeg in the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of October?
I don't know.
Really?
Winnipeg's wonderful.
Yes,
it is. So liberal.
I want to talk about coalition because it's come up. Singh said he was interested in it on the weekend and he was backpedaling away from it today. Trudeau was asked repeatedly about it. He wasn't going to take a swing at that ball. And Scheer, of course, says, look out, people, here comes the coalition. Why is it such a dirty word, Greg? Why is a coalition something that no one seems to want to go there? Even though a coalition would, by the way, a coalition would mean possible cabinet ministers from the NDP, an actual formal working relationship, not just support. But why is it such a dirty word? Other countries do it.
This is the week where you try to get your vote to vote strategically for you. So, okay. You know, if you are the NDP, you don't want to see, as we've seen in past elections in the last week and actually going into the ballot box, where you get the sudden shift of votes away from the NDP to the Liberals to stop the Conservatives.
Right.
So the NDP just sort of happened to start talking about, well, we would work with the Liberals. So in other words, you can stop, if you're voting to stop the Conservatives, stay with the NDP because we'll prop up the Liberal government and stop Andrew Scheer that way. So you can vote for us and stop Andrew Scheer. That's their thinking. Everybody else says, no, I don't want that because then they're saying, oh, you can go vote NDP instead of Liberal.
Yeah.
So Liberals say, oh, no.
Well, it was a pretty vicious backpedal by Singh. Did he make a mistake opening that door, Carl?
I've had my doubts about this talk of supporting another party during the election campaign, but it's not the first time Jagmeet Singh does that. He did it early on, and that was, at the time, targeting Green voters, potentially. You were hearing at the doorstep from any NDP candidates that Elizabeth May was going to support Andrew Scheer. So Jagmeet Singh was running as the anti-Scheer candidate. That's what he repeated basically this weekend. You know, if it is a strategy to prevent the Liberals to drill down and nail down that messaging about vote Liberals to stop Scheer because an NDP vote will get you Scheer, it could be effective. But this backtracking seems that it was not fully thought out. However, I'm not sure it will have a big impact because overall, Singh's performance has been very good and he's still trending up.
Kate,
Yeah, it was a mistake to entertain the hypothetical. His trend line is going up, 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 and you kind of cut yourself off at the knees by suggesting, well, you know, we're not really in this to win it anyway, so let's talk about the various scenarios under which, you know, you should vote NDP. So I think it was a mistake to break out the C word a bit too early. The problem, too, you talk about other jurisdictions, it works elsewhere. Usually people are entertaining these kind of discussions well in advance, so people know what they're voting for. The reason why coalitions in Canada aren't popular is because people want a certainty of the outcome. So they don't want a deal after the fact and after the die has been cast of what you get after. Right. That's why there's so much hesitation around a coalition.
But that's problematic for Canadians because it means they don't understand our House of Commons and the way it works. Mm-hmm. I never liked this question. I have been a political communications director lots of different times. I'm happy to defend reporters, but I always think this is a bit of a lazy question. It's great when things are really tied and it's a hypothetical. Kate's exactly right. Don't answer the hypothetical. The reality is Canadians will give the political parties a mandate, and there are rules in the House of Commons. And after Election Day, we're going to figure out how that works.
So is the narrative... Oh, go ahead, Greg.
Sure. Just two quick things. The irony of the Jagmeet Singh success and the rising success is if he's really successful, he will split that Liberal vote, and they will elect a lot of conservatives. That is the whole point.
Although, to be fair, in Ontario, conservative vote has been going down and the NDP has been benefiting. So it's not like a linear pattern, right? Voters don't go from the left to the right as they evolve in their thinking. It's a bit more muddled than that.
How do you deal with the Bloc? I mean, there's all
Let's
three...
ask Andrew Scheer.
Well...
I don't know
what's Andrew Scheer got. All three parties are going to be hit with the Bloc surge, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think... any party that wins is going to have to tread very carefully here with the Bloc Québécois. Obviously, I don't think the Liberals nor the Conservatives, I think, would ever strike a formal deal with the Bloc
one,
and have a coalition.
Yeah.
Exactly. But what I could see happening if the Bloc were to be, you know, the third party and hold the balance of power, you know, do we have a bunch of questions about the West wants in and you know, how much is the party in power dovetailing the interest to Quebec? We could have even more regionalization of politics than we have today.
What I would be doing in terms of an approach to the Bloc would be reminding people why they lost favor. People started questioning, you've been around Ottawa since 1990, 91. What have you done? You keep collecting big checks and pensions from the Canadian government. And what is this really about? The other thing, too, is those of us who are around the 95 referendum and the rally might want to be, you know, prepared to talk about that. Is this the Bloc that's moving back towards that? And again, if it's just a case of we're looking for somewhere else to place our vote, we'll remind people this organization had how many leaders in the past 12 months? So it's not exactly what I'd call a solid political party.
I keep trying to figure out what's behind that surge because they're not putting any policies forward. It's just, is it the force of personality with the leader, Blanchette? Is that what it's all about?
Partly. He certainly did very well in the two French debates, especially in the first one where Quebecers discovered him. He said, well, he's not that bad, that guy. I may vote for him. But the real issue that is behind that surge is Bill 21. It's the entire issue of the religious symbols banned by the Quebec government. And in fact, Quebec Premier François Legault intervened in the campaign a couple of times on that fact, on that issue, on Bill 21. And that is behind the surge of the Bloc Québécois. 70% of Quebecers are behind that bill, and 80% of Bloc voters are behind that bill.
Yeah, but everyone ran away from Bill 21 on the leadership. Except, no, I mean, Scheer said I'm not intervening in that one. Singh has said he's...
But Justin Trudeau actually said I'm keeping the door open. And he went on the offensive against the NDP, saying I'm the only one who is keeping the door open. It's very courageous, but it's not working with Quebecers.
Greg?
Well, when you get Bill 21, it's how many votes do you want to get in Quebec and how many do you want to lose in the rest of the country? Right. So everybody's walking that fine line out of both sides of their... talking out of both sides of their mouth.
All right. One last question I want to get from each of you. We're 1 week. I've asked this all the time, and I don't get an answer. Is there a ballot box question going in, or is this strictly a referendum on the leaders? Kate?
I think the ballot box question is, does this government deserve to be reelected? Does Justin Trudeau deserve your vote?
What do you think?
I think it's leadership. Is Andrew Scheer, you know, you wrote about conservatives mentioning to you they wish it was Ron Ambrose. We saw Peter McKay's speculation last week. I think it's around leadership.
Hmm. Carol?
I don't think there is one. And I think that's a problem for Justin Trudeau, because any negative things you have against the government, you can use that as your ballot box question as a voter. There is some people that will maybe buy into the ballot box issue that the Liberals will push forward this week, which is if you vote for anybody else, you get the barbarians.
Okay. All right, Greg, barbarians or bust, I guess, for Trudeau. Is that it?
I was thinking the question maybe, how do I mark my ballot when I'm holding my nose with both hands? Because there's an awful lot of Canadians who are started into this campaign as none of the above, not impressed by any of them, are coming out the other end, and I think voter turnout still is going to be a major, major influence on the outcome of this election.
But has it been that bad? I mean, the Hill Times had a quote, someone say this is one of the dirtiest campaigns. Has it really been that bad? I mean,
We have our prime minister wearing a bulletproof vest, so I think it's been pretty bad. If you wade into Twitter, it's pretty awful. Some of the things that have been said about leaders, I think it's been pretty bad.
That said, every election is like that. I mean, I was looking but listen, I was looking this up, and after the 2004 election, McLean's cover was the inside story about the nastiest election ever. I mean, everybody thinks that the current election is always
Stephen
the nastiest.
Harper never had to wear a bulletproof vest.
I think it's particularly nasty among partisans, but I don't know that it's filtered out. To me, 25% higher turnout in 2019 for advance polls doesn't say to me that people have lost faith in democracy. If anything, it says that maybe there's change coming.
It means throw the bums out? Is that what that means? Greg, how do you translate that big surge in turnout?
Maybe it's at this time of the year where it could be as simple as where weather is such a big can have such a big impact. Get your vote out to the polls. I mean, this is if the conservatives, if it's going to be a low voter turnout, it's how efficient are the parties in getting the vote out on election day. And so get them out now. And Elections Canada is opening all kinds of new avenues, easier avenues for people to vote and vote early and vote. Not often. I'm sorry. That's the Gaff Bay model.
I think that's very positive. Elections Canada. I know of people that voted in hospitals this weekend. I think it's terrific.
Yeah, I walked down to City Hall. They wouldn't let me vote. So I live out of town. All right. That's my negative naysaying.
You can say you're not from Ottawa.
That's true. I'm not Ottawash. Thank you all. We'll see you on Election Day next week. That'll be exciting. All right. Power Play always welcomes your views on this or any other topic. Reach us through social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email. Coming up, they may be mutually exclusive issues, but energy and the environment are forefront in this campaign. Our experts look at the policy contrasts. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Well, the energy industry is still reeling while the environment is moving into the top of mind issue for many voters. That makes it a good time to bring in the experts to look at both issues as reflected in party platforms and at the ballot box. Miren Smith is Executive Director of Clean Energy Canada. She's joining us via FaceTime from Victoria. And Sean McCarthy, former energy writer with the Globe and Mail, Senior Counsel at Sussex Strategy now. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank
you, Don. All right, let's start with you, Miren. What do you think could happen on environmental policy if the Libs are forced to join with the NDP? I mean, can Trudeau still push the Trans Mountain forward, or huge liquid natural gas? Where's the red line for the NDP in some sort of working partnership with the Liberals?
Yeah, that's an interesting question right now. As you know, environment's top of mind for Canadians, and climate change is one of their top priorities. And so this is a different kind of election for that. So interesting, when you look at this idea of the NDP and the Liberals working together, we see that the NDP outlined their top six criteria, and a lot of them, you know, the pipeline was not one of them. There's some really good places of overlap with the Liberal Party, things like transition for oil workers, working on reducing emissions, a top priority for both of those governments. So I think we're going to see ways that they can work together on environment and on moving forward on the clean energy economy. They've both got a lot of support for electrification, building retrofits, and basically a commitment to a climate plan, a solid plan that's going to reduce emissions. That seems to be a top priority.
You can't see the TMX getting stopped in some sort of you know, partner dance with the NDP, can
you? I think that would be a real stretch. I think the Liberals are really committed to this now. Mm-hmm. And imagine the eruption in Alberta. Imagine if
the Republic of Alberta would be quick to form.
it would be horrible, frankly. And I think the Liberals know that, and I suspect the NDP knows that. Yeah. And so, as Marin said, there's lots of areas where they can agree and move forward, and I suspect they would focus on those.
Do you see, Sean, I'll stick with you on this one, in terms of energy policy, is there real dramatic divergences between the Liberals and Conservatives, or are they matter issues of degree more than profound polarization?
Well, I would say they're more than matters of small degree. They're matters of large degree. I mean, the Liberals have committed to a transition off fossil fuels, and Conservatives don't particularly want to hear that. And it's, you know, what's the pace of transition? I think, you know, certainly Stephen Harper acknowledged that there needed to be some transition at the end of this century. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody that is working in the oil and gas sector would accept, and the people who depend on them would accept a transition that happens in the next decade or two. I think it's a pretty strong disagreement as to how fast things have to move here.
Okay, but Marin, do you see a way for our energy policy and environmental policies to go in parallel, or do you think one's going to have to give way in the next 4 years?
Well, I would say the energy transition, it's a global phenomenon. It's happening already. So we're seeing changes like Amazon came out a couple of weeks ago purchasing 100,000 electric delivery trucks. We've got electric buses, for example, across this country already driving the roads, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Victoria, Edmonton. So the transition is happening. We all know people who are purchasing electric vehicles. The prices, what's really driving this global energy transition is the price of solar, wind, battery storage, and electric vehicles is dropping consistently. Now, there's two things that Canada's really got to pay heed to here. One is, it is a transition. So we're talking about a change over time. There is time and space for the oil workers and the oil industry to transition. And we need to develop a very strong transition plan for that sector. But Canada also needs to really stay focused and engage in this energy transition and not debate the pipelines forever. And that's where I think an NDP and Liberal coalition could actually work together. They both see that. But the difference with the Conservatives is really stark, as Sean said. I think, you know, the interesting thing for me is that the oil patch, Alberta, Calgary, they all know that this transition is underway. They're seeing it. The investment dollars aren't coming to Canada, and they're well aware that that's not just because that has nothing to do with the pipeline, really. It has a lot to do with the fact that money invested in oil right now can go invest in shale oil because of new technologies. It can go to the States. It can make a return on a dollar in 5-6 years. And that's the major factor, along with those plummeting prices of renewables. And that's where Canada and the energy sector needs to dive in and determine how are we going to make this transition work for Canada.
Okay, I want to get Sean back in this conversation. I do want to talk because emissions going to net zero in 2050, that's an aspirational goal. But realistically, our emission targets, we've had them back to Kyoto and never come close to them. Is this likely to change with this government, no matter which one goes in?
Well, it has changed. First of all, I mean, we haven't seen the type of action, both at the provincial level and the federal level, over the last 4 years. We hadn't seen that previous. So I would say that we've made a start. I don't think anybody is going to, as Marin suggests, I don't think anybody's going to be able to reverse the tide, but it's a matter of degree. And yeah, we may get to the end, towards the end of the period, and have to go out and buy emission credits out in the marketplace, and that's an option. But there is a lot more to be done. The Liberals argue, not persuasively at this point, because they don't have the numbers to back them up, but that we are on track. It's just that we've taken action that is hard to model, and we don't know how it's all going to play out. But, there's no data to back that up. I think that the feeling is, and Marin talks about how fast things have changed in the electricity world, that has to happen in the transportation world and in, you know, home heating and so on as well. And we're behind in that. So we'll see how quickly that occurs, whether we have that kind of transition that we've seen in the power sector in those other sectors. And that's really the critical question, whether those sectors can be decarbonized, as we say.
All right, Marin, 30 seconds or less, if you can. Can we meet Paris under any electoral outcome that you could see a week from tonight, or is that aspirational as well?
We absolutely could meet our Paris if we have a government that does not have the Conservatives as a piece of it. That there's one party, and that's the Conservatives, and the climate plan they've put forward is going to result in an increase in emissions. The other parties, the Liberals, have a good foundation. The Green, the NDP, are committed to move forward and accelerate our carbon pollution reductions. So there's only one outcome that could be the problem.
All right. We'll see what happens a week from tonight. All right. Thank you both. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Coming up, we look at the Liberal leader wearing a bulletproof vest and ask our journalists if the age of innocence is over in Canadian campaigning. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Well, let's give you another in our series of reporter questions to leaders who then pretend they never heard it and answer the question any way their aides have so carefully prepped them to do so. Here's the master of them all, Liberal leader Justin Trudeau, earlier today.
The first question here today was about what common ground you might have with Jagmeet Singh. You didn't answer. You're visiting three ridings currently held by NDP MPs. That's a lot of Canadians voted for NDP. What message does it send that you won't answer that question?
Over the past 4 years, we've made significant investments in the Windsor area, whether it's through the Canada Child Benefit that have lifted thousands of kids out of poverty, whether it's through investments in infrastructure. Gordie Howe Bridge is one example, but there are many others of a federal government that believes in investing in Windsor.
Well, he went on and on and on, discussing the lifting of steel tariffs, NAFTA negotiations, as local candidates. No mention of working with Jagmeet Singh. All right, the journalists are here to preview the final push for the party leaders as this election continues to tighten up around a probable minority. Let's bring a couple somewhat new faces to the lineup. Vanmela Subramaniam. Sorry, how do you pronounce that? Subramaniam.
Got it right.
Is with the National Post. She's in downtown Toronto. Sorry, Vanmela, I've got terrible time with names. Campbell Clark, I think I got that one figured out, is a columnist with the Globe and Mail. Let's talk a little bit. It's a serious issue, this security threat to Justin Trudeau on the weekend. Vanmela, I know we don't know the details, but does this say something about our campaigns now and going forward that we've entered a new phase of sorts?
Look, I don't think Canadian politics is as polarizing as, say, what takes place in some European countries and in the US. But I think that if you had to compare how politics was, say, a decade ago or 15 years ago, when, you know, the internet and social media weren't a factor at all, to now, we have become very polarized. And, you know, there was a recent CBC article that really detailed how there was a specific unit in the RCMP that's charged with kind of tracking anti-immigration, hateful sentiment online, and they've been noticing an uptick of this in this election. So for sure, you know, you're going to see some kind of bitterness and kind of polarization and hate from voters. There is evidence of that. And remember, Michael Wernick, the former Privy Clerk Counsel, pointed out in his report that he will not be surprised if you see, you know, a significant incident, some sort of attack on a political leader. So I think, I'm surprised that Justin Trudeau came under a security threat. But then again, it isn't something that perhaps, you know, the RCMP wasn't prepared for.
Man, those security guys walking with backpacks full of weapons, that's kind of intimidating to see that.
Yeah, we've all seen security on campaign events before. You know, and they're fairly unobtrusive in Canada. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, not just reporters who've been following around leaders for a while, but Canadians have sort of come to take for granted is that their politics happens in relative peace and tranquility, and that, you know, there's yoga on Parliament Hill and the Prime Minister walks from his office over, you know, Parliament to his office across the street. And I think
And poses sometimes.
Yeah, and it's innocence lost here to a certain extent if we still felt like we had innocence left. But there's, you know, there are fringes that are getting more reinforcement. I think we all know that that's happening, right? Journalists get more emails now from people who are just outraged and angry and, if not violent, at least screaming mad on a regular basis.
Wow, those trolls,
more than
man.
It used to be.
Yeah, I think social media feeds it.
Sure, and, you know, to some extent, this campaign in particular has been quite polarizing. There's been a lot of bickering between leaders. There hasn't been a singular ballot box issue that, you know, the country can kind of rally around and have, you know, a decent conversation on. So there's been a lot of kind of finger pointing and, you know, Andrew Scheer, for instance, in the first debate introducing his opening line with calling Justin Trudeau a fraud. I'm not saying this is related to security threat, but I think the vibe of the campaign this time around has been a bit more heated.
Yeah. Let's talk about a very fascinating result out of the Elections Canada. Like, literally, turnout's up 25%. I'm trying to figure out if that's a anti-Trudeau bump or a prevent Scheer from coming in bump. Campbell, want to take a guess on that?
I'm guessing that it is none of the above, like neither of those things, but just that advanced polling is becoming more popular every single election, that there's more available and people are catching on to the fact that they can do it. But I think it probably does help Jagmeet Singh, of all people, because there was a big chunk of university voters there. It happened to be when he was on a high these 4 days. Mm-hmm. And chances are it's not going to help Justin Trudeau or Andrew Scheer all that much.
Ben Miller, we thought might be the millennials might stay home this election, which would be bad news for Liberals. I don't know if this suggests otherwise. What do you make of it?
I'm surprised by it, to be honest, because, you know, when I started covering the campaign about 5 weeks ago, I felt that a lot of people weren't very engaged in what was going on. And as I said, there hasn't been a very kind of specific ballot box issue that people would come out and vote for. Maybe you could say climate is a thing. And on that note, that could be the reason why there's some sort of advanced polling, especially amongst younger people on campuses. Climate could be the driving factor. But, you know, that surprises me. I expected voter turnout to be lower this time around.
Isn't it interesting, this, as we charge to the final stretch, the fact that we all thought, conservatives are going to face a split with the People's Party, which has kind of frittered away to 1%. Meanwhile, the Liberals, who thought we're on our way over a smoldering ruin called the NDP, and look at them, they're the ones that are going to be hit by this split, aren't they, Campbell?
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks like the NDP is seeing a bump and just at the right time. And if you can attribute it to two things, one, it's that they had some sense that they existed before. They had a base. They weren't a fringe party. And then Jagmeet Singh took off in the debates in a way that Maxime Bernier just did not.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Mella, what do you make of all this splitting and coalition talk?
I think, you know, I would agree with Campbell. I think the turning point for both Maxime Bernier and Jagmeet Singh, you know, in the opposite direction was the debate. Maxime came across as not really being clear on what his platform was, except to say that he's not open to any more immigration. And I don't think a lot of Canadians, even right-leaning conservative, traditionally conservative voters really buy into that. So, you know, that's one factor. And the other factor is that Jagmeet came across as someone who was very real. To a certain extent, he seemed to be very confident during the debate. He didn't kind of speak in talking points. And I think to some extent that's really benefiting his voter base, younger people, more progressive types who are looking for that kind of politician.
The real turning point in this whole election, though, was that first French debate, because that's what set the bloc going, which then ate away at the Conservatives, but came around to boomerang onto the Liberals, right? And that is when everything started to loosen up a bit in this campaign. And it could be the key point when we get to a minority government next week, because the Bloc Québécois could be the balance of power, and they're the only party that could prop up a Conservative government. So that could be the key question we're facing on Tuesday. How many seats does the Bloc have?
And Manella, Scheer has demonized coalitions today, and you can just see the narrative taking shape that he's going to say, don't vote for those Liberal NDP coalition types, vote for me, give me a majority government. I need it to do what we have to do.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's quite telling that Justin Trudeau is not actually kind of saying that he would consider a coalition right now, because I think mm-hmm. that could be something that's politically unpopular. Canada's not very familiar with coalition governments. We're more familiar with the concept of minority governments as opposed to, say, Europe. So, you know, that is interesting. I wonder if Jagmeet Singh perhaps brought in the idea of a coalition too soon.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, very exciting. A week from today, thank you both. We'll talk to you again soon. CTV News Channel will bring you the latest from the campaign trail throughout the evening. You can tune into The Vote today at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. All right, after these messages, the flavorful personalities behind a local chef's soupy creations bearing the names of Canada's political party leaders. Please stay with us. Time for the Soup Guy. Our local culinary phenomenon conjured up a soupy creation for every party leader to reflect their personalities, if not their tastes. I talked to Claudio about his campaign leading soups last week. Okay, Thanksgiving. What better time to be talking about eating, drinking, and soup? What the heck? And so you're talking politics, talking turkey, talking politics. So let's bring in Claudio. Claudio's last name is the Soup Guy. He doesn't really have a last name, but he makes soups for people in Ottawa, including politicians, names after them. Claudio, you've got four today, the four leaders. Who needs a debate? We're going to have a superendum here. Let's talk about the soups you've made. Start with this one. Which is this?
Okay. Jagmeet Singh.
What is
this? This is Mulligatawny. Very, very, everybody knows that from the great show. And it's a very, very good soup. By the way, all the soups are 5-star.
Okay. This isn't an ad for you, Claudio.
No, I know. But I just want to make sure that, you know, we're fair with everyone.
Why would you pick this particular soup? What in Jagmeet Singh's character is reflected in the soup?
A bit of the background, you know. So we try to look at people, you know. I don't know the gentleman personally, but I'm sure he'd like this soup.
He's a colorful guy.
He's a colorful guy. Yes,
it.
Yes, right. Did.
Elizabeth May. Look, it's green, it's healthy, it's like Mother Earth herself.
What else can you do for Elizabeth May than a green soup? Vegan, vegetarian, and so on. Very popular today.
Is it?
So, people love it. And there's a funny story about these soups, you know? Right. Like, I'll get comments, Don, like, oh, you know, I'm not really for that party, but they'll try the soups. Huh. And the funny part is, when they try the soup, they'll take the soup that they like.
They don't care.
I know,
superendum.
It is a superendum, but I think when people try them, say, oh, you know what? Okay. I like that soup. But the nice part is, they try the four soups.
Andrew Scheer.
Yes.
Wheatberry. I didn't even know what other thing called wheatberry.
Well, the thing with Mr. Scheer is, I know he's from the Ottawa area, of course, and he represents Saskatchewan. So, of course, I looked it up, and what's hot in Saskatchewan? Beef, wheat.
Right.
Now, anybody can do a beef, barley, and so on.
Right.
But wheatberry, it gives a little spark, you know, it's a little shine, and it's a nice soup. Huh. It's got a nice flavor, fresh beef, fresh wheat, you know, very nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. The big guy, right? Justin Trudeau. What's
Justin Trudeau. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. You know, it's been since he got elected the last election, Don, the guy was very colorful.
Yeah.
Nice-looking guy, young, fresh on the scene, you know. So you can't get a flat soup. You gotta get something like with a punch. Justin Trudeau, duck colorant. With a bit of background there, you know.
Just ducky, this stuff.
Well, it's a fresh duck, nice duck, you know. Duck is similar to a bit of duck chicken, but it's very nice with nice tinge of orange. So it portrays some of the characters.
There's no separatist bloc Quebecois-Li Lache. There's
not
no
yet.
Maxime Bernier.
No, not yet. I think I better stick to the, keep in mind I'm in the soup business. You know, but the thing I want to, go ahead.
Which of these four is your best seller? Just out of curiosity, I'm just
Look,
wondering.
I'm going to be very straightforward with you. Like, we had it for a couple of days now, and we've been selling out all the soups every day. Because they try, we give a lot of samples, so welcome to the soup guy, come and try all the soups. And people, it creates enthusiasm, they're happy. It's like a happy election, you know? Like, you know why they're arguing.
But do you do the politicians all year round, or just during election?
We do basically the politician year round. So the new kids on the block is Mr. Singh and Andrew Scheer. So, but you know what? Like, it's unbelievable how people want to try the soup. It even amazes me.
Because of the name, right?
Because of the name, because of the try, right? You would think they'd favor their own party and they take their soup.
They don't do
But they don't do that. So, like, I'm kind of, you know, astonished.
So maybe it's just they're all undecided voters. I don't know.
You know, I think that people are undecided. And, well, let's check back a little on, you know?
We will. We'll see
get a little more information.
Finally, I've been wondering, I've come here a lot, where's your Donald Trump soup?
Well,
Is there a lot
Trump,
of bologna in that soup?
Well, I'm not going to comment too much on Mr. Trump, but we are, it's in work in progress. Now, kidding aside, a lot of people ask the soup guy, what are you going to do with for Mr. Donald Trump?
And,
you know, I'm working on it. You know, it's not easy to make a soup for Mr. Trump. You know, he is...
Oh, that's true.
You know, president of a big, big country.
All right.
And, but we're working on it, and I'm sure we'll come up with a nice soup for him, too.
All right, Claudio. Thanks for taking the time. My favorite for... I like the Jagmeet Singh one the best. Claudio, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, that is your PowerPlay Day 33 of the federal election campaign. Just six more days to go before the election. Thanks for watching us on this holiday Monday. Hope you can join us again tomorrow. Have a great evening.